Hey, how are you guys doing? Doing good? This was a good week. Me and my wife got to go down to Denver and went to a conference down there that was actually a fantastic. Helped us process a bunch of things and then came back and she had to run to the coast. We had a friend that got sick. I got to go elk hunting, so it's a great week for me. So, speaking of sick, for some of you guys that know, Vern is actually in the hospital right now. He's got pneumonia, so if anybody wants to remember him in prayer or swing by and say hi to him, they would appreciate that. So keep praying for Vern. So we are going to dig into the scriptures. We are in 1 Peter. And as we get started in the middle of this thing, today's message is a good one. In the sense, I haven't even delivered it yet, and I already know it's good. So, what's that tell you? It's good in the sense that it's very practical. I think it's one of those things that we deal with a lot in our life, and so I'm hoping that for some of you this brings some clarity. And bring some strength in your Christian walk, but I have to there you go, that difficult word, with the reality that if you're not a believer in Christ, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this message may be a little weird to you. So, to be honest, this is a message that for those that have accepted Christ, it brings clarity. For those that haven't accepted Christ, it may be a little confusing. So just kind of bear that in mind as we jump into this. Father God, we come before you right now. Lord, you are an awesome, mighty God, and Father, you love us so totally and completely. Father, we wrestle with that. We wrestle because our concept of love is distorted not only by our sin nature, but by our experiences here on earth. So, Lord, I ask that you'd help us to grasp the reality that you are the God of love and that you cherish us. And so, Father, as we dig into your word today, help us to bring understanding. Help us to bring a place of surrendering. Help us to bring a place in our life that we can walk stronger in our faith and trust in you. I give it all to you through Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So, my daughter, I won't mention her name, who is a counselor, she has educated me in the fact that when you're talking to somebody who is going through a hard time, you don't want to normalize the situation. Because when you normalize the situation, what happens is then the person feels unvalued in their pain and in their suffering. They feel unheard. And it shuts down the conversation. And so in many ways, when you're talking and you're dealing with things and you're dealing with pain, you want people to be able to talk and express what they're going through, their emotions, their feelings, and be able to process that, which is very true, because the more we are able to talk about the stuff that we have gone through, the more that we can actually deal with the emotions, not just talk about on a surface level, but actually deal with the emotions of what we've gone through, the more we can actually heal. Our brain begins to put that into our long-term memory, and so we're no longer living in the presence in that pain all the time. And this is a lot like our veterans that come back and have a hard time, because they are constantly living in the presence and the fear of the danger around them, and they're not able to actually put some of that stuff in the past and be able to live in a normal life. The concept and what she's talking about is very true. There's also a place, though, in normalizing something that helps us to realize I'm not alone, that I'm not a singleized victim, that what's happening to me is not unusual. What's kind of crazy about this, as we talk about this, is Peter didn't go to the university. He actually was uneducated, other than he hung out with Jesus. And he was not given instruction about how to communicate with folks, but yet we have his word written down in the Bible that has lasted centuries and centuries. And so let's just look at one of the things that he does here. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. He says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange was happening to you." Peter normalizes our pain and suffering. He doesn't just do it here. I want you to turn over to chapter 5, verse 9. Chapter 5, verse 9. He says, "Resist him, stand firm in your faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering." So Peter is dealing with a crowd. He's not dealing with an individual. And so it's really interesting to me that as he speaks through the Holy Spirit and he writes this down, he actually gives us this insight of saying, hey, your trials, your pain, your suffering is not unusual. Now, this is why it's kind of crazy, because to be honest, usually when you know you present the scripture, you present the gospel, we want to present the hope because we have hope. I have a hope and I have a future. I know God has created me, and now I know my creator. And not only do I know my creator and I know that I'm created, that means I'm also have a purpose. And so when I can begin to live in the purpose that God has created me for, when I can begin to have a relationship with God, my creator, and know that I'm loved and know that I have a future, that he sees me as his child, man, I tell you what, that gives me so much hope, so much joy, that it overshadows so much of the rest of his life. But in the reality of life too, there is this present reality that we will go through pain, we will go through trials, we will go through suffering. It is part of the process. And we don't often like to talk about pain and suffering. Nobody likes to talk about pain and suffering and trials. Matter of fact, that's usually one of the biggest problems. When somebody experiences something horrifying and they begin to open up and talk about it, usually everybody is uncomfortable with it, so they shut them down quickly, because they don't know how to deal with it. And so what we do is we have a lot of folks that walk around with things that they've gone through that it's really hurt them and really affected them, but they're afraid to open up, because if they open up, even who they think are their close friends, they feel like they're going to shut them down. And so we live with this reality in our life that often the pain that we carry as our own. And that's not healing. And it's not the reality. What Peter writes is, hey, listen, we all go through it. This is not surprising. Matter of fact, as you go through the scriptures, it's not just Peter. You see it over and over again, that actually, if you're truly a follower of Christ, you should expect pain and suffering. That is usually not a message that is delivered on Sunday morning. Hey, you're a believer, guess what? Here comes the trials. You know what I mean? It's like, whoa, wait a minute. What are you talking about? There is pain and suffering if you're truly going to follow Christ. I mean, Christ says it. He says, hey, if you're going to follow and be my disciples, you must carry your cross. If you want to gain your life, guess what? You're going to have to die. And so there is this concept all the way through Scripture that there is going to be things that we go through. There are going to be these struggles that we deal with. But this is what's kind of wild. If you look back here at chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised by the fiery ordeals that have come on you to test you." To test you. Now, at first, it's like, ooh, test. I hate test. I hated school. And who wants to be tested by a fiery ordeal? That's not fun. But if there's a test, that means there's somebody giving the test. There's somebody that's above it all. Which truly means, as a believer, that we believe that God is in control. And I don't know about you, but the more I know about God, the more that I know about what he's done for me. The fact that he's given up his son for me and has redeemed me. If he's done that, how much more would he do for my sake? The reality that he loves me so much that if he's in charge of something, then I have hope in it. Because if he's got it, if he knows what's happening, if it's not out of control, because isn't that the kind of way we see pain and suffering? We see trials. This is kind of like this act of chaos that came our way. It's like, ah! And that's one of the reasons why we feel like it's not normal. That's why we feel like we're a victim, because this came out of nowhere. And if we begin to go, oh, wait a minute, maybe it didn't just come out of nowhere. Maybe God has been protecting me all along. And out of that protection, there's times that he allows things to enter into my life for a testing. Now, we don't like to think about God as somebody who tests us. But the scripture is clear on that too. He does. He does test us. Matter of fact, there's several things that come into our life that kind of play on this. Matter of fact, if you back up here, we're kind of go back to when we started 1 Peter, go back to chapter 1. We read these verses, chapter 1, verse 5. Says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. In all this we greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proving genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which is precious even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So all the way through First Peter, he's been talking about suffering. He's been talking about different things that have popped up in a life. And so when we look at this in First Peter, the reality is that, hey, we are going to go through trials. We are going to go through pain and suffering. We are going to go through these things, but it's a refining of us. But notice how we started out this whole verse. It actually talks about us being shielded by God's power. Now, that seems weird, because I don't know about you, but there's many times when we go into something and we pray to God, hey, protect us, put a hedge of protection around us, shield us from what is coming against us. And so we take that stand of we want to buffer ourselves against all the things that could really destroy us. And so and we believe God is our protector, and he's our rock, and he is our fortress. And so when we look at this, we go, yes, he shields us in his power. But what's wild about it is he shields us in his power, but he lets us go through the trial. You see where I'm saying this is kind of confusing? Because if he shields us in his power and yet he lets us go through the trial, it's like, what's going on here? Is he really shielding us if he lets us go through the trial? Because we feel like if we're shielded, we shouldn't go through anything rough. And that's not the case. See, he shields us and he puts us through the trial because it's a refining trial. And he talks about the gold. So what's shielded is what is important and what is precious. And what is refined by the trial is what needs to be removed out of our life. See, when we begin to think about trials in that way, that actually, a lot of times we think about trials as, okay, what do I got to learn out of this? I think if we actually stop and go, okay, it's not so much what I need to learn out of this. It's like, what needs to be refined in this? What is God trying to accomplish? Because he's going to protect what is precious. He's going to take care of what really needs to be taken care of. He's got me. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. I am his child. I have a hope and I have a future. And even if you destroy this body, this is what the disciples understood. Even if you destroy this body, so what? Because he's got me. This is temporary. So if we can come to the mindset of going, hey, wait a minute. Okay, if I'm going through trials and if I can look at this as a refining, he's got me. What is precious, what is true, what is right is going to be okay. So what is there that's left that needs to be removed? What is this refining fire that he's put me through? Being able to hold on to that. But as we think about this, pain, I think, really kind of comes in three different areas of our life. So when I talk about trials, when we talk about things that are going on, it can kind of get a little confusing because I think there's different types of refining that happens in our life. And so I want to look at that as the scripture would open that up. The first one would be discipline. I think basically what I'm going to talk about is discipline, trials, and persecution. So the first one is discipline. And many of you guys know this one in Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 7. It says, endure hardship as discipline. So when you go through hard times, look at it as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what child has not been disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respect them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirit and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Now, discipline is interesting because when we bring up discipline, instantly our culture steps into that. And our culture and our view on discipline is not what it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and definitely not the time when Peter was writing this or whoever wrote Hebrews, I mean. Because the reality of it is this. When we look at discipline, we kind of go with the flow and try to figure out what needs to happen. And we're at a place right now where discipline for us in our culture is a very interesting thing. We've taken the approach that anything physical is actually not right. And so therefore we have to reason and logic with our kids and help them to be able to figure it out. And we're very much part of this culture that believes in expressive individualism, where so the value of the individual is what's really important. And we, as Montanans, really look at our kids and say, hey, we want our kids to be individuals. And there's nothing wrong with our kids being individuals. Don't get me wrong in this. But part of this process is that we kind of look at discipline and we judge anything else or how people do it by, ooh, I don't think that's right. Or we have a lot of ins and outs. You want to start an argument. You get a bunch of people from different generations talk about discipline. And it's really interesting. You get people from the South that come up here and look at how we discipline our kids, and they get upset. I mean, discipline is a tough thing to talk about when you're talking about kids. So regardless of how you do discipline, I think we can all agree on this. We want our kids to mature and be responsible adults. We want them to be able to succeed in life and be able to do things that would further them, not hinder them. We want that goal. And if we want that goal and we try, and whatever technique or whatever style of discipline that we do, we're trying to accomplish that, how much more so is God doing that for us? That he wants us to mature and grow, that we would succeed. And so he brings us through trials, and some trials, this is the reality of it. I think this is where a lot of our pain resides in our life. A lot of our trials, a lot of our pain is because of our own stupid making. We do, we say, we act, we make choices, and we do it out of a sin nature. We do it out of our own desires. We do it out of what we think we should do with the culture or whatever. We say, it doesn't really matter that I did this. Everybody does that until you get caught, and then you feel shame because, you know, nobody does that. It's just this weird cycle. And the reality is God steps in, and if he counts you as a child, this is what's really crazy, guys. I've heard this testimony time and time again from people where it's like, when I was a sinner and I didn't believe in Jesus, I could do stuff and I could get away with it and no big deal. Now that I'm a believer in Christ and I do something, man, whack. It's like, I can't get away with anything. And it's like, yeah, but that's because he loves you. See, as a believer in Christ, the truth is when we step out of line, when we indulge ourselves in certain things, God is going to discipline us if he loves you. And if you ignore that discipline and you keep going, usually you can really wreck your life. But he brings in hardships and he brings in things to get your attention to say, hey, listen, I'm trying to train you in righteousness. I'm trying to train you in holiness because it's for your good. The last verse on here, I didn't read it, verse 12. It says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. That's usually how I feel after a day of elk hunting. Make level paths for your feet so the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. See, he tells us, listen, when you undergo discipline, realize because it's something you did wrong, realize it's because you're loved. That's why. And if you don't want to do this again, it's all about actually changing our actions, changing the decisions that we're making. So a lot of the pain that we cause to ourselves because we have a loving Father that steps in and says, I can't let you do that. Because if you keep doing that, you're going to destroy yourself. What happens when we have a teenager that sits and plays video games all day long, never gets off the couch, doesn't do any of the things he's supposed to do? If we never step in and say, enough, what happens to that individual? They just get older and do the same thing. And they destroy their life. We can look back and we can see that. We can see that in a child where it's like, man, if this child keeps going down this direction, this is not going to be good. And so we realize there needs to be a maturity. There needs to be a level of responsibility. And we can see that in a kid and we can see that in a child. We have a hard time seeing that in us when it deals with our holiness and our actions. And sometimes it's like, oh, this is unfair. Which child, which teenager has never said that? It's unfair. You don't love me. No, I love you a lot. That's why we got to stop this. That's going through the trials or going through discipline. Let's look at trials because there is a difference. Look over here. One of my favorite verses, as you guys all know, James chapter 1. Verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Ugh. Because you know that the training of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature, complete, not lacking anything. Discipline is one of those things where it's like, I do, and God goes, nah, I can't let you do that because I love you. Trials is one of those things where things happened to me and it wasn't my doing. Things that happened in this world because somebody else was doing what they shouldn't be doing. Or just naturally happened. And, you know, it's like, what in the world? How am I supposed to make it through this? How am I supposed to deal with this issue? This gets, and these things, I don't know about you, these are the ones that get me. There's a place where it's like, if I mess up and I get caught in doing it, there's a part of me that goes, yeah, okay, that was dumb. There's another place where something happens to me and I did nothing to deserve it, where I go, wait a minute. This isn't right. Why am I going through this? You know, and I look at God and it's like, hey, hello, you know. Don't tell me you haven't been there. This is going through the trials that happen to us, and here's the reality of it. He gives us a clue here in verse 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. See, he allows trials, things that happen to us that we didn't deserve, because think of the refining fire. He does things in our life because there's ways that we think and we process that need to be changed. In other words, often the things that come into my life, the trials that happen around me that I didn't do, God is working on an inner part of me to be able to refocus that I need to have wisdom. Of being able to go, you know, there's some things that I thought about God, and I thought this is what God has to do. In other words, if I do all the right things and God kind of owes me, don't tell me you've never thought about that. I'm a good guy. God owes me a good life. I've done the right things. I've been generous to other people. He owes to bless me financially. You know, we do this game with God. And this game usually comes out of misconceptions of our mind on how God works and how he thinks. And it's a testing of our faith. This is the one where, in all reality, where it takes us to be able to go, and this is usually, these are the type of trials that happen to folks where I've seen believers go, I gave up on God. This happened to me, and I can't accept that. And so I'm out of here. It's a testing of our faith. It's what Peter was talking about before. That we will be tested. And part of that testing is what you think. Refining our faith. How you process. Can you actually go through something and go, no, I know God loves me. I know he's got me. And he shielded everything that's actually precious and true. And so what I'm struggling with right now is I'm struggling with whether I really believe he's going to provide, or I'm struggling with whether he really loves me, or I'm struggling with whether I actually think I get to earn my place in heaven, and so it's by works, and so I don't deserve this. You see, there's so many times that there's a key element in the midst of that trial that actually is revealed because we look at it and go, no, this shouldn't be happening because according to my concept and according to my doctrine, this is how it ought to play out. And this should not have happened if God is God. It's like, no, what you don't understand is God is God, and you have put him in a box on how he has to operate, and that's not how God is. And so there's something that needs to be refined in the way that we think and we process. Therefore, we have to come to him and say, okay, God, give me wisdom on this. I don't like what's happening. I don't enjoy this. This really stinks. I mean, this could, you guys have been there. Some things are horrifying in life. There's one thing about missing a bill and going, oh wow, that's really tough. There's another one you talk about people that have you know, committed suicide or gone through horrible situations in life that should never happen to anybody. And you go, what in the world is this about? I thought God was a loving, good God. You have to stop and go, wait a minute. I need wisdom in this. Because the reality is he is a loving, good God. But he also allows things to come into our life that sometimes break us down to the core of who we are so we can really begin to understand who he is. and not just our little box, our little God that we've created out of our own mind and concept. I want to change it here and look at a different perspective. As we've been going through this, as Peter talks about this, he brings up in chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. He says, but rejoice inasmuch, he just told them, hey, none of the stuff that you guys are going through is strange. In verse 13 he says, but rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory of God rests on you. Persecution. There's one where I'm immature and I'm following my own desires and pain comes into my life in order for me to go, okay, I need to grow up. There's another where I go through life and pain enters into my life because it needs to be refined, my understanding of my concepts of God. There's another pain that comes into our life when we finally get to a place where we truly are behaving and we honor God with our whole body, with our mind, when we love others, when we represent Christ. Because when we begin to represent Christ to other people, some people don't like that. It puts them on the spot. It shows, some Christians don't like that because it shows their immaturity. And you're not walking in that. Non-believers don't like that because now you're being judgmental because of the way that you live or whatever it is. And they'll heap insults on it. Jesus warned us that, hey, if they hate you, they're going to hate, or if they hate me, they're going to hate you. It's the reality that if you truly live like Christ, not everybody's going to love you. Matter of fact, you may invite a beating. Most of us, I would say, have never gone through that. We live in a country where we have a lot of freedom, where we respect a lot of individuals and their different beliefs. But here and there, there's times that we have to stand up for something that's right that people go, what? You're whacked. And pain and persecution will come because of it. I lived in a small little town in Republic, and right across from the youth ministry that I was running was the volunteer fire department. And I was there most of the time anyways, and it's like, man, I'm going to volunteer at the fire department, you know, because I'm available, I could be right there, boom, whatever. Went to the interview, I sat down, was interviewed by all these guys, and they're like, well, can you do this and that? And it's like, oh, yeah, I can do that. You know, can you wear a mask? Oh, yeah, I scuba dive. So all the stuff, I went through it all. And, I mean, they grilled me, and they grilled me, and grilled me, and grilled me. And eventually I'm beginning to go, man, this is kind of weird because, I mean, they're really grilling me. And eventually it came down to the end of it where they said, well, listen, you passed everything, but here's the truth. We know that you're a pastor. And we're not going to let you volunteer because you would make it uncomfortable for some of our guys. I was like, seriously? You're seriously rejecting me because I'm a believer in Christ? And they're like, yeah. Yeah, we don't want you. I was like, wow. I mean, that was nuts. I mean, it was like, you realize I could sue you right now, right? But, I mean, isn't that crazy? I mean, there's moments where you'll go through that. In many parts of the world, we have believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, that go through a whole lot worse than that. They lose their jobs, so they go in prison, they're beat, they're tortured, they're taken away from their families. In some countries, their families are pressured to actually kill you. we don't experience that type of persecution. We're scared to death of it. But what's crazy about it is when that type of persecution is really out there, it really does refine us. It brings us to a place of going, am I just a fan or am I a follower? Am I really going to surrender all to Christ, or is this just really kind of convenient right now? I kind of like hanging out with these people, and that's cool. See, even in the midst of persecution, there's a refining that happens. God's got us. There will be pain and suffering. But as Peter put it, all the stuff that we're going through right now is not even worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. See, there is a hope, there is a future, there is a solid future for us that cannot be taken away from us. It is not temporary. It's not any of this stuff around here that we build up our own little kingdom trying to bring comfort into our life. It is eternity. This is a flash in the bucket. And it's hard, because I don't know about you guys, but whatever happened this last week has been happening to me for the last 2 years. I mean, that's usually my concept, you know? It's like, if last week was a good week, I have a good life. If last week was a bad week, I have a terrible life. I mean, that's my memory is about a week long, you know? And my emotions go with that. But the reality is eternity in a place where we experience being loved and fully known, where we're valued, where we've been created for a purpose, a place without sin, which is just mind-blowing, because everything we think of, even heaven we think about with a sin nature. Our minds are warped, and so the concepts are hard for us to grasp. So, with all that said, I challenge you in this. Don't so much think about the pain and suffering that you're going through as what do I need to learn out of this. I want you to begin to think about the stuff that you go through as a refining fire. Being able to go, okay, am I being disciplined? Do I need to grow up? Am I going through something and I'm struggling with it because my concept is not right? I've got my eyes on the waves and not on Christ. Or am I really in a place where I'm being blessed because people see in me the glory of God and his character, and that threatens them? I would have made that point. I had a bunch more scriptures on it, but I ran out of time. Father God, we just come before you right now. You are an awesome, mighty God. And Father, I know that there are a lot of folks in this room that have gone through pain, because it's not unusual. Every one of us has. But I also know the pain feels very personal. The suffering feels, it's isolating. Some pain becomes part of our identity. And so, Father God, I ask that you would help us to remove that concept out of our life. That we would not be defined by the pain that we've gone through, but, Father, that we'd be defined by you. Father, help us. Help us to be loving. Help us to hear each other. Help us to be able to process the struggles that we go through. That in many ways, as we process those struggles, that we would be able to get to that precious, pure gold. That all the other stuff, all the draft, all the impurities would be removed out of our life, out of our mind. That, Father, that we would truly come to a place where we would show your glory to other people. That they would have to come to a reality that there is a God and they have a choice to either follow him or not. So we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.